Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Leslie.
Welcome to Quince.
A little sweet.
A little tart.
A little unexpected.
Today is Thursday, June the 22nd, 2023.
And this is take two.
Take two. Can you believe we did that last week?
Well, I don't know what happened except maybe my internet dropped.
Yes.
That's the only thing. We were about 45 minutes into the thing, I went to look at it for some reason, and it was gone. The recording had vanished completely.
Yes.
And so we came back down to Best Place, and we're using her maybe more reliable internet. I was using my phone hotspot, and that was probably a mistake.
Well.
I already had the pad set up for that.
Right.
And I was lazy. So, we're going to do it again, and this time it's going to take. And what's been going on?
Oh, goodness sakes. Well, we had bears at Bob's house this morning.
That was exciting.
Yes.
You had to miss it, though. You came to work.
I came to work, and they came out. Yes.
After you left. Yeah, well, a lot of people have been seeing bears. Our friend Amy Marshall saw one last week in her yard, and I've seen a few pictures of them actually down in the mountain, or kind of around the construction.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way it looks, anyway.
Yes, I think they're confused.
Yeah, probably so. A lot of noise, and the ones I saw were youngsters. So hopefully they will go back to where their mama is and get out of the way.
I was walking in the woods today with Susie Q.
Yeah.
I'm dog sitting, so that's been fun. But I just kept calling her name and clapping and making lots of noise.
Oh, yeah. Well, I sing in the mornings when I take the dogs out and so forth. I think just the fact that the dogs might be enough to...
Yes.
Keep them away, but don't know. They don't really come into my yard all that often. One time I walked out and there was a bear behind the holly bush.
Oh, goodness.
And which is about, 10 feet away from the
front porch. Oh, yes.
And I had the dog with me. Fortunately, I saw the bear before the dog did and got him back inside. And, of course, the minute it realized we were there, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't an issue, and I've not seen one since in the yard. We see them go across the field.
That's right.
So,
yes.
Things like that. But so anyhow, we had talked about, or we were going to talk about, the hot dog social, which we had.
We did. That was fun.
It
that
was lovely.
Yes. Our fire and rescue support team.
Yeah.
They put on the best dinners.
Oh, yeah. And they took donations, and they had a can there. It looked like it was getting pretty full.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. So. I went late because I had to work. And I got to sit with Naomi and her husband and Pam.
Oh, nice.
Mayberry Trading Post Pam.
Yes.
And a couple of other people, and it was really sweet.
Oh, that's good. I did take out, so I took it back.
I hung out a while and got to talk to most everybody that was still there. Because it starts at 4:30, so a lot of people already...
Come and gone.
Come and gone by the time I got there.
And of course, then I spent 15 hours there on Tuesday
working
the election, which was a Republican primary for Virginia.
Yeah.
Where it was, there were two candidates you had to pick between.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean,
it was really quick. You know, I sometimes feel guilty because I have never waited. I mean, ever to vote in my entire life. I mean, in Stewart, I'm pretty sure I started voting in Stewart. And then when I lived in Northern Virginia, I don't remember ever. And then I see these pictures of people lined up for hours.
Well, the 13 years that I've worked at Meadows of Dan during the elections, the only time I remember a line that weaved around the inside of the building, and that was the 2012 election, really? I believe.
Oh, I don't remember waiting that day.
The presidential.
Yeah, I probably went early.
And this was just for about an hour.
Yeah, like around everybody getting off work.
Right, around, well, no, they 10 to 11, something
really?
Like that.
Huh.
'Cause yeah. But other than that, it has never been an
issue.
When
I lived in Maine.
Now, when I lived in Florida, I always took a paper back in my purse because it'd probably be about half hour, 45 minutes that I'd wait in line.
I guess I've just been in a privileged position, but you know, I see on TV people lined up for hours.
Oh, yes.
And I think to myself, you know, that shouldn't happen.
No, no.
Really?
They need more places.
Yeah. We've got a precinct in every little.
We have 13 precincts in Patrick County.
Yeah, in every little community in the county. Mm-hmm. I mean, 13 precincts.
Yes. Yeah, for 19,000 people population. And, of course, that's only a third of them are voters.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you think about a place like Atlanta has two.
Right.
That's an exaggeration, but per, it ought to be a per capita thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, or even a mileage thing, like here in the rural situation.
Yeah, because our friends that live on Fort Mountain Road have to go a fair distance.
Yes.
Because they have to go.
They have
to
go Floyd County to Willis. That's right.
They're in Floyd County, so they go further than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway,
yes, voting.
We did that, and we had book club.
Yes.
Now that was lovely. You did a great job pulling that together.
Oh well, thank you. It was fun. Somebody else had actually picked the book back in January.
Oh, okay.
Our friend June had.
Oh.
And she had agreed to do the August book. And I said, well, I'll do the one with the author, the local author. And the book's name was Love and Murder on the Nolichucky, which takes place in eastern Tennessee. And the author, Bobby Bailey, of course, it's Robert Bailey on Amazon,
right,
if somebody was ordering it. He had asked me to read the text of this book, oh gosh, it was maybe even during COVID. It was sometime back, three or four years ago when it was in its very basic form. And I had helped Bobby with a poetry book that he had done maybe 10 years ago. And I'm really enjoyed doing that. But it was so great that they drove up in the rain and fog.
Yeah.
And his wife, Anita, his retired teacher.
Yeah, she's a lovely lady.
Yes, she is. She really is.
Well,
so,
we enjoyed that thoroughly. People asked some really good questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had some interesting themes.
Yes.
In the book. And I really did not expect the end.
No, I didn't either. The end was very well done.
He did a really good job with it. And I did not expect
it
to happen.
For a murder mystery.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, and then he, you know, segued into book number two that'll be out.
Well, he had pretty much hinted. His favorite character was my favorite character, the motorcycle guy.
Uh-huh.
So he said he's going to play him more, and I really like that.
And he said he's going to have a lot more strong women.
Well, and he was talking about how much he liked doing dialogue, and I'm kind of sensitive to dialogue if it's not done well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
With that.
Yes, and he said he had to argue with the editors of the book, the publishers, whatever, because they didn't always understand Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, see, we're close enough to Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, it's not that different.
It's not that different. Mm-hmm. So I thought the dialogue definitely rang true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was born in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
But raised in Eastern Tennessee. Yeah. So,
yeah. I had never heard of the Nala Chucky.
I mean, neither this. And now
it's a river, by the way.
It is a river, and it sounds like a beautiful river.
It does.
And I think we're going to take a road trip.
I think we
wouldn't that be a fun overnight go find some mom and pop or a little cabin.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool because I had never heard of it. It does sound like a beautiful region. And so we also learned something.
Yes. So that was good, book club.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. Well, we won't start talking about our main topic. Well, yes, we will, because even you're going to talk about some knitting. But our main topic, guys, we had last Tuesday, a week ago, a group of us, there were 12 of us, hiked down Rock Castle Gorge.
Right.
Yes, the part of the National Park, the Blue Ridge Parkway National Park. And it's this beautiful, beautiful, huge, how many acres in Rock Castle? Thousands.
it's several thousand. I don't know exactly how many acres actually belong to the Park Service, but yeah, it's an interesting story how it happened. I always admired that a young man did the design. Stanley, my mind's gone blank. Stanley Abbott. It just amazes me. He was relatively young, and he moved to Roanoke and designed the parkway. The vision to go across those hills and valleys, and there were roads there in some places, and to envision how this was going to look.
Amazing.
That's absolutely amazing. And part of his vision was the Rock Castle Gorge. And the Rocky, he planned the Rocky Knob picnic area and the Rocky Knob campground. The Rocky Knob picnic area actually belonged to a family called Hancock.
Oh my!
That lived there, and the husband of the family had died, had cancer, I think, kind of tragic, and so the wife, you know, didn't really want to hold on to it after the kids were gone. Pretty much the same story in most of the purchases in that area. And but for him to be able to see that this is something, this astonishes me. And I've met his son.
Is that right?
He's still interested in, he was very, very much interested in his father's work. There were some projects or something over the years that he came into Meadows at Dan. And talked to, and he was smart people. It's just amazing how many smart people there are in the world.
Yes.
So anyway, that was Mr. Abbott's vision was to have this part of the alongside the parkway as a recreational area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of the most beautiful parts of the Blue Ridge Parkway.
It is. Yeah, you what we do, there is an 11-12 mile loop trail that starts on the parkway and goes all the way down into the gorge and comes back up. But we don't do that.
No, that going up that steep mountain or coming down.
Yeah, I was 20 the last time I did that. Just never had the time or the occasion. But what we do is we take the old road. There was a community down there. And we take the old road, starting at the top of the mountain, and go down to the bottom. And traverse the community, basically, pretty much.
About 5.5 miles?
It's about 5.5 miles. Mm. And then at the bottom, we have some nice fellows with pickups.
Yes. Or
nice fellows with SUVs that pick us up.
Yes, that was really nice.
That was really nice. And so we don't do the 5.5 miles back up again. And walking down is not as easy as you would think.
No, it's a long trek, and we went over two rivers.
Yeah, we went, well, it's the same river.
right. I mean, yeah, twice we had to cross.
Yeah, and it was, we've had so much rain. In fact, this entire week has been nothing but rain. And we've had so much rain that the river crossings were a lot harder than usual.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Yeah, but everybody did okay. And
we were all, 12 of us were in our 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I think maybe the youngest person might be not quite 60.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly how old she is, but the rest of us are in our 60s and 70s, and I think there's maybe one that's a little older than that. But,
oh, wow.
But we did fine, and everybody had a really good time, and I told stories.
That was the best part. Yes. Now, why don't you tell them a little bit about how that came about? That you know all these stories.
Well, my grandmother grew up down there.
Yes. Yeah.
And story is just what we do. I started working with a professor at Virginia Tech, which made me start kind of gathering and putting these stories into a form, because she did a study of Rock Castle Gorge for the National Park Service. And I was her research assistant. So I went down and did a lot of deed work and all this. And then a bit later, another professor from Duke made a film. And it's called Rock Castle Home. He did an absolutely marvelous job. He talked to a 90-plus-year-old cousin, Matt Hubbard, and took him into the gorge. And so he was able to reminisce and see some things he hadn't seen in a long, long time. And he just did a magnificent job with it. It's called Rock Castle Home. And so we did a walk. I guess there were about 20 people, including two British folks that just kind of happened by, came down with us.
Fortunate people. Yes.
Yeah, you were with that.
I was not there that day.
You were working, probably. Yes. Yeah. And so, but that's how that all came together. Yeah. And so about once a year, we take that walk, you know, when I'm able to. I couldn't do it last year because Dad was sick, but once a year, we take this walk and we tell those stories.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And it's good. And it's good to, you know, spread the word around and get and we had some interesting discussions.
Mm-hmm.
When we got down there.
Oh, yes. People were definitely interested and wanting to know even more.
Yeah.
And that movie, which has been shown on public television.
Yeah, I think it's still available on PBS.
Okay, and you sell the DVD at your shop.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that want to own it. In fact, I've had a few people buy it that don't have DVD players anymore, but they want to have it.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, so just in case. But yeah, as far as I know, it's still on PBS. It's called Rock Castle Home. Charlie Thompson is the professor that did it, and he just did an amazing job. He really did. But I think what I wandered off onto this. We're walking down the road, and that stream is so much a part of the community. You know, you can hear it all the time. Like I say, we crossed it several times. And when they get down lower, they have bridges, which is really nice.
Yes.
And then you can look up the stream. But since it's a mountain stream, it's incredibly clean. There's nothing on it from the start to contaminate it. You can fish there. You have to use artificial lures because of the, you know, they don't want strange little minnows in there or whatever reason. And so, but you can get a fi- uh, do can go fishing and get permission to do that.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then at the bottom, we have the CCC camp.
But, yes. Yeah. And it was interesting that some people, along with us that day, didn't realize what the CCC meant.
Yeah, Civilian Conservation Corps.
That's right.
Which made me think about how often I assume things.
Yes, me too. Me too.
You know, that, because we grew up with these stories. We grew up with this being a part of, you know, I had great uncles that were in the CCC. And other people knew.
Well, that. Sure. In fact, my father blazing the Appalachian Trail up in New Jersey and Vermont. Yeah, you always heard about the WPA.
Yeah, and exactly. Well, we have a WPA post office in Stuart, don't we?
Yes. Well, there's a drawing that's a mural that is still
one of the WPA murals there.
Yes, and Meadows of Dan Elementary School was a WPA design
school. Yeah.
School.
Yeah, the first one.
The first one before it burned.
The second one, actually. Yeah, that's the second one because the first one was over by the church. But
right.
Yeah, so so the WPA and the CCC did a lot in the region, and we didn't. I was telling Karen, she didn't know as much about it, about the fact they paid these young men.
Oh yes,
and generally there were about 200 men down there. Mm-hmm. It was a big camp. It spread across both sides of the creek. And they paid these young men, but they only gave them like 50 cents for their own use, and they sent everything else to mama.
Exactly. Back in New York or Iowa or wherever
they were. But, you know, they had their uniforms and they had wonderful meals. Our cousin talked about sneaking into the camp. You know, it wasn't like he was starved or anything because they were farmers, but they had different food that he wasn't used to, like pancakes and stuff like that. And so he would sneak in and eat with these fellows he'd make friends with. And then the boss would run him off, but he wouldn't go far and he'd sneak back. All right, so we've gotten kind of off on our main subject, so we probably ought to do our knitting portion.
Yes, please. You had such a fun thing that fit right into this topic.
Yeah, well, I just went to Ravelry and put hiking in, and apparently there is a cable called the Irish Hiking Cable. I haven't quite tracked it down, but I did find the Irish Hiking Scarf by Adrian Vasilia, and I love the puffiness of it. It's three cables.
That's beautiful.
It's really pretty, and it has, she's made it with a worsted weight. She doesn't really give a yarn, but she says you can use a chubbier yarn or larger needles to make a giant scarf. And what I like about cables is they're puffy and warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have flat knitting. I've got a cowl on right now that is a flat knitted one. But cables are just kind of feel puffy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really pretty, quite an attractive look.
Is that still a popular way? I can remember as a child that you would see, like in the L.L. Bean catalog or something,
right.
You would see the cable sweaters.
Oh, cables.
And
yeah, I just finished one of my favorite recent projects. Was from a book called Fairy Knits by, you know, Alice Hoffman,
the author.
Yeah, and I think it's her sister is a knitter. And they got together and put together this delightful book, and I had to have it. And I made several things out of it, but one of the things was a cable, cowl, only it's about 4 feet long, folded. And it has a cable that runs all the way around it.
Ooh,
and
nice.
It was just the most delightful knit. I enjoyed making that so much.
Ah.
And I used a yarn that I have in the shop. And then I kept it there for a sample after a while, and then I took it home because it was so nice.
Well, that might be something you'll want to do some more and sell in the shop, perhaps.
I can't sell something designed by somebody else.
Oh, that's right. You know what? You told me that once, and I did not know that.
Anything that I make, except for Grandma's favorite dishcloth, because that is ancient.
Right.
And so I'm pretty sure there's nobody has a copyright, but everything I make is not copyrighted that I sell.
Right.
Yeah, I design my own stuff, and of course my design is very simple because I'm not that great a designer, but and I can't, it's like this cow, I can't duplicate this cow. You know, I made it and I can't make it again.
Because you, did you design it?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's, I should take a picture of it. But yeah, it just worked out this way. You know, it's got like a double collar.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it just happened that I can't do it again.
I bet you could.
Well, I haven't been able to. So, but anyway. So yeah, the Irish Hiking Scarf by Adrienne Basilia, with, takes about 350 yards. It's about 5.5 inches by 55 inches. And it's a free Ravelry download. And then, I like to find a tool or a knitting tool. So I went over to Etsy and I fell in love with this bag. Like I only have 800 knitting bags. But this one is super cool. It's called the Ganja. It's a Sula Studio bag.
What does that mean?
Well, that's the company that makes it, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Ganja Green is the limited edition April 20th drop, and this is a new thing that companies are doing. They do limited edition drops of something, and you drop it and you grab it,
okay.
Or they drop it and you grab it. But
it's quite pretty in the
picture. It's really pretty, and they have a whole bunch of other colors. But this one struck me as a hiking color. It's a green. And it's got tons of pockets. Plenty of place for your knitting. An artist would love it. A potter would love it. Everybody would love this bag.
Oh, anyone who likes pockets would like
it. Anybody that needs pockets would love this bag. And when I was, years ago when I used to do a lot of hiking, and we used to go up onto the Skyline Drive and do backcountry camping, I had an artist's vest.
Oh.
And I still have it. I don't think I could wedge myself into it anymore. But it had all these pockets. It had a place you could put your book in the back and your lunch in this pocket and your notebook in this pocket and your knitting in this pocket. And it was just a fabulous thing.
Do you know, now how about this? Could we have Mary Locke design one of those and sell it in your shop?
Boy, that'd be nice.
That would be, because who doesn't love pockets like that?
Well, I love this vest. I should take it out and let her look at it.
Mm-hmm.
See what she would do.
Yeah, I buy one.
Yeah. I mean, it was really
always
nice.
When I'm hiking, wishing I had
more pockets.
More pockets.
Well, and you know, when I wore that, I didn't take a backpack.
Wow.
You know, because for day hiking,
right.
If we did an overnight or whatever, we'd take backpacks and tents and stuff. But just for day hiking, I would never take anything with the vest, and because there was, I think there was a thing for your water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I guess we had water bottles back then. It was a long time ago. And,
we had thermoses back
then. Yeah, I mean, it had like a mesh thing for your water bottle and a place to fit your keys. And
right.
It was just really neat.
Right. And now we could design it for the more modern, you know, the definitely have the cell phone pocket
and that's true.
Whatever else.
Yeah.
That,
okay, I will dig that thing out and show it to Mary. That is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. And do various sizes and
yeah,
make sure there's some of them for the larger
for
types.
For us, more, more what is that?
Matronly, or what do they say in Rama Matsi, in the number one ladies?
Yeah, that's
traditionally
built.
Traditionally built.
That was what I was trying to come up with. And it wouldn't come to my head. It's been a long day. All this rain. But anyway, so if you want, you can come and buy a artist vest from us if we get Mary to design it. Or you can go on Etsy, and for the next 7 hours, you can get, well, you can get it longer than that. You can get a Ganja Green Sula Studio Bag. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. Oh, and another thing I happened to think about. My phone, when I went hiking back in March, my phone kept where my car was. In case I got lost, it said your car is over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know how that happened, but something in the mapping thing. I just started, I was in a strange place. I was on the New River Trail, and I went about a mile and a half or something, and turned around, and I looked at it to see how far I'd gone, and it said, your car is here.
Oh, how nice.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
It really is cool. So just in case anybody gets lost,
yes,
ask your phone.
Had you put a special app on?
No, it was just the regular mapping app that I had been using because I was in some areas I wasn't familiar with. And
and when you were trying to get on the New River Trail, it can be complicated to find the parking areas.
Right, exactly. And I wound up in Austinville.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm not sure how. Yes. And that's where the thing kind of led me to, because I left Wythville and wandered around, and I wound up in Austinville. I'd never been to Austinville.
There
I'm kind of glad I've been, because, you know, I'd passed that sign for years. It said Austinville that way. So, I stopped at the thing and paid my $7 and walked up the trail. And so it was kind of cool that it told me, you know, that this is where you left your car. Oh. I felt like, oh, okay, you don't forget where you parked.
That could be handy anywhere.
Yeah, that would be cool in these big,
Disney World or something.
Yeah, whatever. Big, I don't know if malls even exist anymore, but, you know, I do remember going Christmas shopping with a friend of mine, and we like to never found the car.
Oh, yeah. Remember what that was? It was like, did we come in Sears or Belk's whatever?
Huge mall down in North Carolina. And, and it was near Christmas or whatever, and the place was packed, and we had a time finding that car.
Yeah, that is true.
So this would have been easier. You parked your car right there. So if you go hiking. So we're talking about hiking.
Yes.
And now what are we going to say? We've talked a lot already.
Well, it's great that a group has started up, I mean, even loosely, that your Tuesday group.
Yeah, we're calling it. My friend Sandra came up with the idea, and then she's only been able to get up here once because of the weather. But she's calling it the Mountain Rockers.
Uh-huh.
We have our own T-shirt, and a friend Natasha designed the T-shirt, and she's such a talented young lady. And it's got a rocking chair on it and mountains behind it, and we figure, well, when we're all too old to hike, we'll just have the rocking chair and we'll still be the Mountain Rockers.
Yeah.
So we've been, our first hike we did, we got a little too ambitious and walked 3.5 miles up at Rocky Knob. And then the second one we did, we came in the bottom of Rock Castle Gorge and up to this old house and then turned around and came back. So that was about 4 miles. And then we did this great big one. And then this week it rained buckets. So
that was That was, Tuesday would have been a horrible day.
Yeah, and, you know, the idea of walking in rain is not so bad, but it's so slick.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want anybody to fall and break a hip or anything, so we're
hoping.
And
it was windy, too.
It was windy, crazy. Yeah.
Like 25 mile per hour, I guess. I mean, enough that porch furniture was
moving around. So we didn't go. So we're hoping this Tuesday that we can get that done. And haven't figured out where to go, but there's so many great places around here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, somebody sent me a message from a place down in North Carolina that I'd never heard of. And then I understand that Vindy Heart Park down in Woolwine has lots of trails and lots of, like, miles, which would be cool. And then
even at Fairystone, there's some wonderful trails.
Fairystone, and if I read it right, our friend Tom Perry said that there's some trails at the Jim Stewart.
Yes, well, I have hiked there with Peter and Kathleen and actually with our friend Aida that what goes along the river and then back up.
Is it a fair distance?
It's a pretty hike.
Yeah, so there's a lot of places around here
that
you can hike.
They're just within minutes, really. So
you took your young friend Lily on the trail very close by here that I remember Dad taking us when we were little kids.
Oh, yes, the little round meadow trail. And that's just a short.
Yeah, but she'd never been.
She had never been. It's so pretty. We got down to, you know, going down over the hill and got to the creek. And she's just looking around, her eyes big, and she's saying, this is like something on in the movies.
Yeah. You know? And coming back up under that bridge is so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an old, is that a suspension bridge?
I don't think. What do they call it? It's just straight across the,
it has an arch.
Yeah, I guess it does underneath.
Yeah. It looks like the New River Gorge Bridge, only small to me. But I may be wrong.
I don't know. That would be worth looking into because they had to have built it.
Yeah. Oh, they built it back in the...
like the 30s, 40s.
And it's pretty high.
It is high. And when you're underneath, you really realize.
Yeah. It's higher than you expect because that, that stream has dug a pretty deep hollow. And the right on Squirrel Spur, there used to be a mill.
Oh, wow.
Down there. You used to could see where it was.
And where we're talking about is called the Round Meadow Trail. It's right on the Blue Ridge Parkway around mile marker 179.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. It's such a short little walk, but a lot of people stop there. And it's, you know, a nice one. Way to stretch your legs. It is go downhill and come back up,
right.
But it's not horribly.
Right. They say 20 minutes now. Yeah. It always takes me longer than that
because
I stop and sit on a rock
and
take
pictures and everything. So, but it's a nice little small trail, and I'm glad you got to take Lily.
Yes.
And let her see that.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I remember Dad taking us down there when we were kids. Probably because he wanted to fish. I don't know.
It is a good fishing.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I have a private trail that I go on that same creek.
Yeah, Daddy used to take me in there fishing, too. And probably told the story that he would, I would take a book, and he would put me up in a tree.
I love it.
And so I would read while he'd fish on down the river, and then he'd come back and he'd take me further, or we'd go further down or whatever. One day I was up there and some of my cousins came by. They were a bit older than me. And so, you know, they thought it was kind of funny to find a girl in a tree. So they're talking up at me and they were fishing too. They're talking, I'm talking back to them and I hear Dad splashing up the creek. He heard men's voices and his little girl was up in a tree.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. All right. What else have we got? You got a quote or anything?
Well, you know, I don't have the same quote that I had last.
Well, one of my favorite quotes, and I'd have to paraphrase, is about sauntering instead of.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah,
I can find that. You can find that. Absolutely.
That muir?
Yes.
Yeah, and taking your time.
Okay, quote by John Muir.
Yep.
I always go to Goodreads because people will ask me, since I do a quote every morning, of course, you know, for my Facebook, which I've talked about.
Sometimes and that makes our subject.
And so I decided that I would get it from Goodreads because it's so reliable.
Right.
Sometimes
you get a quote like attributed to somebody that
right yes, and so people will sometimes ask, so I say, okay, at least I'm starting with a good source.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it. John Muir. I don't like either the word hike or the thing. People ought to saunter in the mountain, not hike. Do you know the origin of that word, saunter? It's a beautiful word. Away back in the Middle Ages, people used to go on pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And when people in the villages through which they passed asked where they were going, they would reply, A la Sainte-Terre, to the Holy Land. And so they became known as Sainte-Terreurs or Saunterers.
Hmm.
Now these mountains are our Holy Land, and we ought to saunter through them reverently, not hike through them.
Good point for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that I read that whole quote before.
I'm not sure I read the part about the saunterers.
That's lovely.
Yeah, yes. I don't think I'd ever read that either.
Very good.
Yeah, so we shall saunter. Maybe we should be the mountain saunterers.
I like that.
We do take our time.
You know, yes.
We aren't stringent hikers for any means.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, took us about, when we did the 3 miles over at Rocky Knob, it was maybe 2.5 hours.
Well, with our 5.5, we all met at 10.
Right.
Took us a little while to get going. And of course, you were telling stories, so it was a little different. But we showed up about 2:45.
Something in there. We took quite a while at the house, though. So,
yes, of course. We sat and had lunch.
We had lunch.
And had our picnic
talked,
lunches.
And talked. And,
it was a
took more pictures. And
very fine day. In fact, you might want to share some of the pictures of us, especially the one sitting.
Yeah, I'll have to ask. That was Aida's, so I'll ask her if she minds.
She would be thrilled.
And the old house, it also has an interesting story that it was built in 1910, and the Park Service ran out of money in the 30s before they bought that property.
Oh, I didn't realize
that's the story.
I thought maybe it was grandfathered.
No, they just that piece of property was pretty valuable. It had a lot of orchards and stuff at the time on it. And so the people that bought it, the family sold it almost immediately. And the people that bought it still own it. The family still owns it. But there's no electricity. There's no running water. And there's an outhouse and a spring. Then the heat is, I think they got a wood stove or but they've got it fixed up so they can stay there.
But how nice that they let people use the outhouse and sit on the porch and have a picnic.
Yeah, they're very kind about that. And and people are seem to be respectful.
I've never seen any
damage. And I did take an extra roll of toilet paper because I thought we ought to try to help.
Replace
what we had. they've been very kind over the years.
Excellent.
And then there's a couple of three family cemeteries down there as well. They put those on high heels.
Yes.
But it's all about the stories.
It is. Oh, I love the stories. Well, thank you. This has been wonderful.
All right. Okay. So we're still running, so hopefully we will be able to contain this thing. All right. Our show notes can be found at www.quincepodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes and some other places, Stitcher Radio, different places. There's also a direct link on our show notes to the podcast. You can either download or just listen. And we will be back in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you.